What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over a million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
The Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League for Listeners is back. Your last chance to try to take the quiz on the show is today. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. That's Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. You can get in before tonight. Darius is going to go through all the quizzes, grade them like a fourth grade English teacher using a red pen. And then he's going to reach out to listeners who make the cut with their score for their knowledge on the Grant and Danny radio program, which is now in year 13?
So we 2014. So we started in 2014. So that's, we've completed 12 years. We're in our 13th year. When this is done, we'll have done 13 years. But it's our, we've been on for 12 years. But this is our 13th year.
That was a very succinct way to say yes.
Yeah.
13th year of the Grant and Danny radio program. Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Take the quiz on the show if you want to get into the listener league. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our buddy Albert Breer of SI and MMQB. What's up, Albert? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well. So you wrote a piece today, caught my attention. I read through it, really liked it, on Jaden Daniels trying to bounce back from his injury plague 2025. But I want to start with the anecdote you had right at the top of the story, because I was out at every training camp practice, and it's not something I picked up on that DQ and the guys told you about. Explain what was going on with the play clock. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, like, obviously everybody's learning a lot. And, you know, I think one of the things that DQ wanted to do was make practices more intense, create more game-like situations. And, yeah, a huge part of that was, okay, like, how can I increase the stress on everybody? And so, you know, with two new coordinators and two guys who have not called it at the NFL level yet. Dronte Jones did at the college level at LSU, but those guys, neither of them have called an NFL game before. He wanted to just kind of consistently put them in as many game-like situations as they could. And so they just loaded up training camp with call-up periods, which, you know, for those who don't know, it's just basically, you know, an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator in practice calling plays against each other based on the situation, and doing it unscripted, which winds up being a way of testing the players too. And so, that was part of it. And then the other part of the equation was we're going to start winding the play clock at 38 seconds. And a huge piece of the thinking there was it's a big transition for Jaden Daniels and for the rest of the guys in the offensive huddle, at least the ones that were around last year, from what they were doing under Cliff Kingsbury. There's more verbiage to the play calls. They're huddling. Jaden himself told me, they're getting to the line later because there's more to do before you get to the line. And you have to kind of react quicker because, you know, your time is a little bit more at more of a premium. And so, you know, what DQ decided was, well, we don't want this to cause problems during the season, so let's just turn the play clock to 38 seconds rather than 40. And it was actually Marcus Mariota. He didn't tell anybody, but, you know, it was actually Marcus Mariota who first picked up on it. And so among the players, so kind of a creative way to test the players and try to get the systems installed and get the players thinking a little bit faster. You know, I said to DQ, I'm like, so it's a little bit like putting a donut on a bat when you're in the on deck circle. And, he agreed that that's I don't think it's a perfect comparison, but kind of the idea.
No, I smell what you're cooking there. It makes sense. I mean, they've been talking about their internal confidence. They know something that we don't know on the outside looking in. And they were talking about some of the scheme stuff and things that they haven't shown yet. And we had an event last night, Albert, with Adam Peters, where Grant and I were on stage asking him questions. And they're really confident. And that's why this line in your story jumped out at me. This is why the Commanders and Daniels are jumping out of their shoes to show the world what they've been working on over the past 5 months. It's not just lip service. It's not just the thing you say at this time of year where there are 32 teams that think they can finish first. There's a real kind of just you wait and see what we do here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think that's really it. You know, it's like that there's an excitement over what Jaden's going to look like. There's an excitement, I think, over how the next evolution is going to bring the best out in him. And, you know, I think it's interesting because I think like a lot of people just think of him as the athlete playing the position. And like Jaden said to me, it was like, you know, like out of sight, out of mind. The last thing people saw, they can kind of become a prisoner of that. And the last thing we saw was him getting hurt, you know, like, so, you know, I think he feels like, and maybe some people, and not that he blames anybody, but I think people, you know, in that building feel like, okay, like Caleb Williams had this great year. Drake May had this great year. Bo Nix is back in the playoffs for a second straight year and his second year in the league. And Jaden somehow, you know, that fast became the forgotten man in that draft class. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement to kind of show everybody like, hey, this is still the guy that a lot of people felt like was the best player in that class. And the same guy that I think a lot of people thought was going to be, you know, a top five quarterback in his second year before all the injuries hit.
Albert Breer of SI. Peters in the onstage show we did with him last night that Danny just referenced to you said something to the effect of the reason they changed their offense was they wanted Daniels to have to play Superman less. I take that to mean they want fewer designed runs and they want him. I know schematically he's got to make some plays in the Kingsbury offense too. Do they want him to run less this year?
I think that's fair. And, you know, like that was something like he actually addressed in the story too. And, you know, I think he was conscious of it before, but I mean, look, we all saw the highlight reel from LSU with the Looney Tunes music right on it, like where he's just taking these like comical hits and he continued to put himself in harm's way. And I remember talking to people, you know, before the draft about that. It's like, well, there's sort of two sides to it. It's he's putting himself in harm's way, but he's not getting hurt. And he didn't miss a ton of time in college. And there was that question, is that going to catch up with him? And then his rookie year, he really didn't sustain a serious injury. So it's like maybe this guy just has a way of avoiding injury. And then like last year kind of all came crashing down at once. So, yeah, I think he was like conscious of it, but I think being conscious of it, and he said he had been conscious of it, and, you know, learning the difference between, you know, a first quarter run in week five and a fourth quarter run in week 14, like he knew the difference, you know, but, you know, I think it's another thing being conscious of it and knowing the difference and then actually having to pay a price for it, you know, and he obviously paid a heavy price for it last year. So, you know, I think that part of it is something that's front of mind for everybody. And, you know, I think it happens with a lot of quarterbacks now, Grant, is, you know, there's this, you know, exists with Caleb, it exists with Drake, you know, it existed with, you know, Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen. Some of these guys are capable of being Superman, and, you know, when they were in college, they could kind of put the cape on whenever they wanted. And, you know, what the balance is for a lot of coaches working with these guys when they come in the NFL is teaching them, hey, look, like, you know, if you only put on the cape 5 or 10 plays, that's actually more effective for us than you trying to put on the cape 20 or 25 times in a game. You know, you're going to make defenses defend more of the field. You're going to keep them more off balance when you do decide to flip that switch. You know, getting guys instinctively to change is a process. And, you know, I think Cliff was cognizant of it. You know, but history is a great teacher too, you know, and so the history of what they went through last year, you know, I think is going to put Jaden in a place where, you know, some of those lessons are going to be cemented. And then, yeah, I think with a lot of the stuff that they're going to do in the run game with David Blau putting in, you know, a version of the Ben Johnson offense, they'll be able to protect Jaden better through some of that stuff too.
Albert Breer with us here on G&D. Albert, you're so plugged into this league, and you know, you visited so many training camps and things, and I'm sure you've seen it's not glowing outside looking in for Washington. A lot of people think that, you know, they can't even tie their shoes and won't be able to field 53 players, and, you know, are a disaster on the likes of the Jets and the Dolphins, Cleveland.
I saw Nicky's tweet too.
Yeah, right. It's like, this is an operable, and oh my God, that went around.
Yeah.
And yet there's this.
I love Nicky. That was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Yeah. Well, it wasn't good here. I mean, there was this hysteria, but you can imagine. And then we've got kind of what you're talking about, which is their quiet confidence here. Reconcile that for me. Just sort of, I'm sure the truth is somewhere in between, but how far closer to which side?
Yeah, so I'd say I kind of like break that up into two buckets. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the first piece of it was certainly a work in progress, and the Laremy Tunsil injury, having that happen in the middle of camp, was obviously not great, you know. And they worked through some different options, and what are we going to do at left tackle, and do we put Brandon Coleman back out there? Do we flip Josh Connerly? You know, they ultimately made the decision, you know, Connerly's a really good player. They have high hopes for him, and so, like, the idea was we don't want to upset the apple cart and move him over to left tackle when we're just going to move him back to right when Laremy Tunsil plays again, whether that's in the playoffs this year or next year. You know, so like there's that piece of it. There's still like a lot of moving pieces with how this is going to look. They're still learning the offense, and there can be some fits and starts to that. You know, the flip side of it is like, this is a group that won 12 games, and a lot of those guys are still there 2 years ago. I think they're confident in the systems that they're bringing in, and there's going to be a lot that's going to be baked into those systems. They're complex. You know, I think they're going from some simpler systems the last 2 years to systems with more layers now. And so there's going to be some, I would say, bumps when you're putting those systems in over the course of camp, but you feel like you're going to be better in the long run for it. And then I think the division is just wide open. And, you know, I think it's definitely possible that a team with 9 or 10 wins the division, and then the last place team is only 2 or 3 games behind them. You know, like, I think it could be one of those years. 'Cause I think Philly levels off just a little bit based on some of their attrition. I think Dallas has a shot to be really, really good, but they can't afford many injuries. The Giants, I think, you know, now they've got an identity and an idea of who they are. What does Malik Nabers look like coming back off the ACL? That'll be a big one for them. They've obviously got the young quarterback, so his progress is going to be a question. What do they do at D tackle? And the Commanders have questions as well. What does the offensive line look like without Tunsil? Defensively, how quickly does this all come together? Do they have enough to get after the passer? You know, all those questions are on the board for the Commanders, but they're in a division with teams that have some big questions too. So I can understand why there's reason for optimism. And you would think, based on the way that they're constructed right now, that rather being the older team that they were last year, that kind of wore down as the year went on, maybe they now flipped it to where you start to see them ascend as you get into November and December.
The MMQB, some of the best NFL coverage available. Senior NFL writer and lead content strategist Albert Breer with us. Hey, we'll let you out on this. I read your piece, must have been several days ago now, on why teams kept four quarterbacks, and you explained some of those situations, yep. And it makes sense. I will never understand that. Not your piece, but...
Yeah, I got your piece. I just can't get
four
there.
Four teams this year, dude. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't keep three, and they're keeping four. That seems insane.
I know. And look, like, a lot of teams play games with this stuff. Like, the Vikings waited a day to cut Max Brosmer so they could try to get him through the practice squad, right? Like, right. The Browns snuck Dylan Gabriel onto IR. So there are definitely some games that they play with this. I'm with you. It's a really hard thing to do. And I think the thing that most fans don't understand is, you know, there's 46 guys in the roster. That's actually a really low number when you consider the amount that you need on special teams. And so, you know, when you're, you know, I've been around teams before where, you know, like, fans don't understand, well, why didn't they keep this promising fifth receiver? And it's actually because that fifth receiver doesn't bring you anything on special teams. So, like, you're probably not going to dress him. And then the question becomes, well, if you can't dress him on Sunday, can you carry him? And that's sort of the way it works with quarterbacks, because most quarterbacks bring no special teams value, you know? So how can you justify having four quarterbacks in your roster when three of them are not of use to you on game day? It's a very fair question, and I could understand people who think it doesn't make sense. But in each of those individual cases, there is an explanation.
Albert, you're the best, buddy. Great piece, and enjoy the weekend, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Talk soon.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, we'll win off the field in lieu of a double play. What teeny, tiny, mini moral victory made your day a little bit better that nobody else would care about? Plus, at 4, we'll go blitzing the Hokies, the NBA, the Terps. Get you ready for the college weekend on G&D.
Fall is a vibe. So, what's yours? Do you go wild? Or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors? Or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trend. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I Know a Guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage 1, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up at 5 o'clock in 30 minutes, you will hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. Press conference out in Ashburn. Roster is formed. We do know Nick Allegretti is expected to return to the practice field today. Also found out that Adafe Owe will not practice this week. Now, that doesn't rule him out for week 1. I guess it's possible.
But the odds go down.
He could be back on the practice field to start next week. But remember, next week's a game week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you get into your, did you practice on the injury report on Wednesday? If it's a no, then you're trending in the wrong direction. You need to be practicing by next Friday. So that gets a little more bleak. No update that I've seen on Caleb on Chason. We'll have the whole press conference for you coming up in 30 minutes. But I wanted to delve a little deeper into the roster with you, Danny, and areas where we feel really good, areas where we don't. First thing we should do, though, is let's just run through rapid fire all of the position groups here, and then we'll come back to where they're best built and worst built. So why don't we start at quarterback? I know you don't love keeping three, but I will say from the traditional sense from like 10 years ago, this is kind of exactly what you're looking for. Franchise quarterback Jaden Daniels, veteran backup Marcus Mariota, and then the project in-house prospect that you drafted in the late rounds to be your long-term backup.
That is a well-built position.
You could do a lot worse than Daniels, Mariota, Kaliak-Manis.
Yeah, that's the envy of a lot of teams in this league, I would say, because you have a young superstar in Jaden Daniels, and the priority, of course, is maximizing him and keeping him upright, and that's something we'll come back to in a second. But Mariota, very capable backup, and that's a perfect role for him. And then the developmental project, who's shown well in the preseason in Kaliak-Manis.
Speaking of positions where they only have three guys, running back, and this one's a little more surprising just because of health.
Yep.
Bill has not been practicing. Rashad White has not really done anything over the last few weeks. And Katron Allen's the one bell cow from the preseason.
He got plenty of work.
Sixth round pick. He was carrying the mail in these preseason games. But Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, Rashad White, Katron Allen, they did not keep Robert Henry Jr., who's been placed on the practice squad. He'll be the fourth in the organization. I don't have a problem only keeping three. Remember, Jeremy McNichols also placed on injured reserve as well. I take this to mean both that White and Bill are likely to be healthy and full go by week one. They're confident in that. I also take this to mean we could see Bill getting a lot of opportunity here as something of a workhorse. I mean, I don't think you only keep three unless you feel like Bill can do things on third down as well.
You would think he could do more, but I also take the other side of that coin and think it might mean a lot of work for Rashad White as well. As somebody, you know, if they don't trust Bill early in pass pro or to catch passes, or you want to kind of keep him fresher and you have a third down back or a guy that can act as one even on first and second down in Rashad White. I mean, I think it's a vote of confidence to him too, because as you said, there's only three guys there.
It's definitely a vote of confidence in his health. I just didn't see a lot from him in camp at all, so I've been kind of down on him, but they're not. I mean, they signed him, and to your point, he's one of the three. Let's go to tight end where they're four deep. This is one of my favorite spots on the roster. Chigakonkwo is going to be their lead pass catcher. You've got John Bates, who's one of the better blocking tight ends in football. Ben Sinnott can do both pass catch and block, neither at an elite level, obviously, but a tick above average or average in both capacities. And then Colson Yankoff is super athletic, helps you in space, can play special teams, and I think he has better hands than Chig or anybody else in the tight end room watching him out in practice every day. All four on the roster, Sinnott and Yankoff probably going to play teams.
That's a good group, and this is now a lot. You'll notice we'll come back to this theme, I think, a lot. It's a puzzle for David Blau to kind of solve, and there's only so many mouths to feed, only so many footballs to go around. If the offense is good and it's humming, you get more plays. Everyone eats more. There's more chances. Whereas if it struggles, which it might, who knows, for first-year coordinator and offensive line influx, then you can find uses. You can find some plays where you feature Yankoff up maybe against a linebacker, where you force a team to go big against you, and then you have guys that can run away. Or the team's in the nickel, and you can check to a run on first down. If you're moving the chains, there's just more opportunity for these guys. But it is a good problem to have when you are four deep at tight end with guys with slightly different skill sets.
Yeah, I'm glad that all four made it. I felt like Colson Yankoff had kind of made it a formality by the end of training
camp. He's good.
Wide receiver, they did elect to keep seven. I think you can do that with Jalen Lane as a punt returner. Maybe Luke McCaffrey starts out as their kick returner.
Yep.
Based on last season, he should get a chance to be in the conversation. He was one of the best in the National Football League. You got Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs. The news today is that he'll officially wear number three. Antonio Williams, the rookie slot, number 14. Twitchy showed some wiggle at practices. Deami Brown, Treylon Burks also in. So the seven, McLaurin, Diggs, Williams, Deami Brown, Treylon Burks, and then McCaffrey and Lane. No surprise here. Came down to McCaffrey versus Van Jefferson for the seventh spot. I do think Van Jefferson's a better wide receiver right now, but Luke does more. He plays on special teams. He's younger. He's under contract for longer. All reasons why you break the tie with him. I didn't really have a problem with that. I know there's I've seen in the fan base, I mean, everyone hates everything on social media, but there's been some vitriol toward Adam Peters for keeping McCaffrey. I don't really get that. I understand if you're a little frustrated that he hasn't delivered the goods as a third-round pick, but as the seventh wide receiver, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, to me, as you said, it's special teams. So he may be a better wide receiver, but he's still seventh in the pecking order, or sixth, or whatever you want to call it. I don't care about that very much, respectfully.
Meaning Van Jefferson.
Yeah, I like Van Jefferson. Yeah. But let's say he's a better wideout. I think I'm with you. He's a better wideout than Luke McCaffrey is. Okay. He's still not getting targets. He's still not getting receptions. He's still not a featured part of the offense.
He's inactive on game day.
There's four or five guys ahead of him, whereas McCaffrey, will play and contribute in different areas. So yeah, if it comes down to it, God forbid, you have a bunch of injuries at the receiver spot, I would rather have Van Jefferson as my number two than Luke McCaffrey. But that's not the role right now where they are relatively healthy, knock on wood, at that spot more so than anywhere else.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I also wonder if Luke McCaffrey would have cleared waivers. Van Jefferson obviously did. Mm-hmm. I think McCaffrey would, because I just always assumed that everybody would. But he was a third-round pick. There's the bloodlines and kind of the name that got him a lot of attention during the draft
as
well.
At a minimum, as a returner.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. His kick return numbers last year were outstanding as well. So there's a world where I think claiming him would have made a little bit of sense. And Van Jefferson, I'm not as convinced anybody was going to. And they didn't. All right, offensive line. This is obviously where they've been in shambles on the interior for some time. Tunsil gets hurt, so you're Brandon Coleman, your left tackle. Chris Paul at left guard. Allegretti back to practice today at center. Sam Cosmi, right guard. Josh Connerly, right tackle. They then, I found this curious what they did behind those guys from a depth standpoint. You knew DJ Humphrey was going to make it, especially as soon as Trent Scott didn't. Humphreys was going to be in. Matt Golbin, who they drafted in the sixth round, if they draft you, they're keeping you, it seems like. But Tanoa Togiai making the roster was fascinating to me. I didn't think you had to do that at all. College free agent, UDFA, thought he could have been cut, go to the practice squad. That leaves you a spot to add an offensive lineman later. My guess is there's another O-lineman coming in here in the next day or two. I know I keep saying that. And when that happens, Togiai is off the roster.
Yeah, so that's not my guess. That's my hope. I'm putting rationality on that where I'm going, this has to happen. So that's got to be a placeholder. So we'll see. But it's the weakest group on the team right now, in my view. This is the struggle. I think 60% of this line is either a huge question mark or not that good.
All right, so let's go letter grades for the position groups as it pertains to like where you would stack them up. On the grading basically is what it should look like in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So quarterback, I'm going to give them an A.
A.
Running back, I'm going to give them a... I'm going to give them a B at running back.
C plus for me.
Okay. Tight end, I'm going to give them an A.
A.
Wide receiver, I'm going to give them a B.
B plus.
Offensive line, I'm going to give them a D.
F for me.
Yeah, and if I had to go minus or plus on my D, I might trend toward minus. Of the offensive positions, what do you like better? Quarterback, tight end?
It's quarterback.
Those were the two.
Yeah, those are the
most.
Two the best. It's quarterback because you've got Daniels. I mean, it's I can't remember who it was. Maybe been Kevin Sheehan with us moments ago. But it's the whole point here. This whole all this exercise. And yeah, we work ourselves up, and rightfully so, about things we've seen, not seen, etc. This is the thing that we have been searching for our entire lives. Even when it was good here, it was still, you know, a handful of games of Doug Williams down the stretch, and it was still a position battle with he and Jay Schrader. It was Joe Theismann until he hurt himself. It was Mark Rippon, a guy that was an afterthought. It really wasn't about the quarterback. I've never had the thing that Green Bay gets out of bed and has every day, always. The superstar franchise guy, I'm not taking it for granted.
So that's the offensive side of the ball. We'll get to defense on Grant and Danny next, going through each position group after the rosters were formed. Remember, 5 o'clock, the presser. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, who we're going to be with on stage Thursday night. Tickets available, arlingtondrafthouse.com. Come on out and chat with Adam Peters. Should be a fun evening for our listeners. You're listening. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are live until 6:30. We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Kondori & Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
I'm steamed up for our next guest, Rich Gannon. He can be heard Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, SiriusXM NFL Radio Channel 88 from noon to 3 Eastern. I listen to him on SiriusXM quite a bit. Rich, you're on in D.C. It's Grant and Danny. How are you?
Guys, great to be with you, and welcome to the Sirius family. We're excited. We'll be tuning in and listening during the regular season.
Yeah, fired up. Our station and so cool. Many stations from Odyssey now available on SiriusXM. You can listen to The Fan on the SiriusXM app. You go to SiriusXM.com/SportsPass for more details, how to subscribe to SiriusXM's new sports plan. I want to start with your thoughts on rookie quarterbacks and the idea of sitting them. Everyone always says guys benefit from it. And Tom Brady, when he was not a team owner and he was just a guy talking about football, would always say, this is what you should do with kids. Well, now he runs the Raiders. And they've got Fernando Mendoza, who was a Heisman Trophy winner and a 1-1, sitting behind Kirk Cousins. But we haven't seen a guy sit for an entire season who was Mendoza-esque since Carson Palmer over 2 decades ago. So my question, Rich, is at your old alma mater there with the Raiders, how long do you think the leash is for Cousins, and how long before the calls get loud for Mendoza?
I don't know that the leash is that long. I don't think they want to rush Fernando Mendoza. I did the preseason games. I spent some time out there and around the team. And, you know, I think it's actually a pretty good quarterback room, and I think it's a good situation to have. You know, you got a veteran quarterback and Kirk Cousins, who's been around the block. He's played a lot of football. He's been in the league 14 years. I think it's a luxury for a first-time head coach in an organization that's had a lot of turnover at that position to have, you know, guys that's been around a number of different coaches, a number of different systems of football. He's had 9 different play callers, guys, in 14 seasons. And, you know, he's thrown for almost 300 touchdowns. He's thrown for almost 45,000 yards. And I think you sandwich the rookie, Fernando Mendoza, between a veteran like Cousins. And the other guy I think is key to it is Aiden O'Connell. You know, he's the third quarterback. He's been in the league 4 years. He's had 4 different head coaches and 6 different play callers. When he's gotten a chance to play and he's been healthy, he's actually played well. But, I mean, 4 different head coaches and 6 different play callers in 4 seasons is insane. I mean, it's not the way you want to develop a young quarterback, but I think he's got a command of the offense. I think he's really a smart guy. And I think you sandwich the rookie between 2 veteran quarterbacks that are willing. I think that's the key here. They're willing to help. You talk to Kirk Cousins, I mean, there's no mystery to what the long-term plan is in Las Vegas. You know, everyone knows where this is headed. And Kirk understood what he signed up for. I think it's inevitable that we're going to see the young quarterback this season. It's a question of how soon. And the other thing is, it's not just whether the quarterback is ready to play. Is the team ready for the young quarterback? And I still think the answer is no. The offensive line is still a work in progress. The wide receiver group is not the most deep and talented. They have to be able to run the football to have some success, and they need better play of their offensive line.
So to that point, Rich, just more broadly, less about the specifics of the Raiders situation and more on drafting a guy at the top of the board and then sitting them, why is it seemingly impossible to do now? Is it the money they're paid or the noise from fans and media, which isn't supposed to matter anyway? Like, why can't teams sit guys?
I think it takes a mature organization, a mature and disciplined owner and front office and head coach. There's going to be noise. There's going to be pressure from everywhere, whether it's internal or external, from the fan base. They, you know, they want to see this kid play. But yeah, I think the worst thing you can do is put a young – you always say as coaches your job is to put your players and your staff in the position to have success. Well, why would you put a quarterback out there if he's not ready to play? And I don't think any rookie quarterback is really ready to play. I mean, even Peyton Manning went 3-13 his first year and threw more interceptions than touchdowns. So – it was a learning curve for everybody. You look at the guy in Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy, you know, he has struggled with the speed of the game and processing. And I just think it takes some time. And, you know, I think Fernando Mendoza has a lot of upside, but I think the Raiders are going to be smart. I just throw a couple names out there. I mean, it turned out okay for Aaron Rodgers to watch Brett Favre for a couple of years. It turned out okay for Patrick Mahomes to basically not play at all his rookie year. He played, I think he started the last game of the season. He watched and played behind, Alex Smith, who, you know, really helped in his development. So I think Kirk Cousins is a similar person when it comes to maturity and a willingness to help a younger quarterback. And I actually think it's a pretty good situation for Fernando Mendoza.
Rich Gannon with us here on Grant and Danny. Rich, this might be stupid, but he reminds me of you, talking about Fernando Mendoza. As a player, bigger body that moves a little bit better than people think, accurate with the football, maybe doesn't blow you away with a 100-mile-an-hour howitzer, but can really play the game. Do you see that comp at all?
I don't know. He is a bigger player than I was. He's like six. He's just shy of 6'5". He's 235 pounds. I wish I had that size, but he... I think I have a little bit more mobility. I think he's a guy that's a kind of more of a pocket passer, but you know, I think he can run for a couple first downs. I think he's really good with the quarterback movement stuff, some of the play actions, some of the boots and nakeds and things like that. I think he's very natural at that. I think he's done a really nice job, guys, in the preseason of playing from under center, whether it's in practice, the scrimmages, the preseason games. Here's a guy that's been, I think, 3% of his snaps in college were from under center. He's basically he was in the gun all the time, and I think he looks very natural there. I think that's a big part of what they want to do: change the launch point, run the ball in on the running game with two really good young talented backs. But I don't care who plays quarterback in Las Vegas. If they don't get better line play, it won't matter.
Rich, I want to shift gears to the travel. Rams 49ers are playing a game in Melbourne. That's cool, I suppose, but did you ever have a long trip? I'm not like that, because I don't think anybody's done that. That's around the world. It's like tomorrow or the day before somehow as they're traveling. I don't even know my brain can't even comprehend that. But did you guys have long travel, and how would you handle that ridiculous flight time?
Yeah, we had some trips. I played in Sweden. I played in London. We played in Germany, Berlin. We played in Mexico. So we had some trips. You know, not like this trip, which I think was 18 hours. So, I think it's different. Each team has a different approach. We look at the Rams and the 49ers and what they're doing. A lot of, you know, sports science people are involved in these off-season conversations. Your strength and conditioning people, your trainers, your nutritionist, your veteran leadership. And it's interesting to see that the two teams are taking very different approaches. I mean, the 49ers are going early. The Rams are going to fly in late and play the game and head home. My preference would be the latter. I don't know that I want to be there for a week. But you know, there is a, you know, it's taxing. And, I think we're seeing more and more teams. Like, a lot of people reach out to Jacksonville because, of course, you know, they have a lot of experience having played the games in London for so many years. So, you know, their thought process is to leave later and to do some different things on the plane ride over, stay awake, and when they get off the plane, go right to the practice field and have a walkthrough and kind of get the bodies moving, and then try and stay up, and then and then go to bed early. But everybody does it differently. It'd be very interesting. I think it's a big storyline heading into this one.
Rich Gannon, SiriusXM NFL Radio is where you can find him 3 days a week. The 2024 quarterback class, we talk about a lot, as you can imagine, here in the nation's capital, with Jaden Daniels having turned himself into a franchise QB and a guy that's headed toward a monster second contract. But if I take out the guys that didn't hit of the six QBs in the top 12, so it's the big four here, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Bo Nix, in terms of the order they got drafted in, how would you kind of rank those guys in terms of expectations this year and moving forward?
I think they're very different players, some of them. I think there's some similarities. I also think that, you know, every situation is different. I think pleasantly surprised from what we saw from Jaden Daniels in year one. I thought the guy had a lot of talent. I thought there were going to be some major growing pains for him. And it was just like the rookie season was so magical. I mean, you know, obviously culminating in the rookie of the year honors, but the follow-up, not so good. And of course, I think it was a frustrating injury-filled season, you know, three separate injuries. He had just the seven starts, and he only finished, I think, four of those games. And even when he did play, the offense looked so dramatically different than what we saw from that dynamic, explosive team in 2024. So, you know, I don't think this is a one-hit wonder. I think this guy has a lot of talent. I think the maturity, I think his ability to his poise and his ability to process and not panic, and I think his anticipation, all those things. He's got some of the qualities and intangibles you love at that position. But, you know, they, as a football team, they need to improve in a number of different areas. And, you know, I think you look at Dan Quinn, that defense, and I know he replaced both coordinators, but you talk all you want about the injuries on offense. The defense was unwatchable. I mean, they were dead last in total defense, 28th in passing, 30th against the run, get almost 150 yards a game, 27 the points allowed. They were bad. And, you know, it's a tough division with Philly, Dallas, and even the Giants, I think, have a chance to be better with John Harbaugh in year one. So, tough division, but we'll see what the Commanders can do this season.
Rich, what's Aaron Donald going to do? That's one of the best players I've ever seen, but he hasn't played in a couple years. What do you expect?
Most general managers and coaches would tell you that, you know, when a player's out of football for a year, not, that doesn't mean when you have an injury. Like if you have a, you know, ACL or something like that and you miss the entire season, but you're in the building every day, you're rehabbing, you're able to participate in the meetings and things like that, you're still around the game. When you just walk away from the game and you retire for a year, that's a different story. And then to be out 2 years, it's rare that a player would come back and have success. But we're talking about a totally different animal altogether. I mean, Aaron Donald is not, I mean, he's not one of those guys that retired and put on 30 pounds and was sitting around eating bonbons and watching sports. I mean, this guy is a fanatic. He loves being in the weight room. He loves conditioning and personal training and nutrition. It's all important to him. And we're talking about a guy that was a dominant player for the last decade. I mean, the most dominant defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman in the league. And you pair him with Myles Garrett, I mean, it's kind of scary. Aaron Donald doesn't have to play 40 snaps a game, guys. You know, I mean, he can play 25 or 30 snaps and make a big impact on the game plan. He's a guy that can be so disruptive inside. And I think you pair him with Myles Garrett, whether they line up on the same side, whether they, opposite sides, whether they flip-flop Myles Garrett. I mean, it's going to be just a fun situation to watch. And people aren't talking about the two corners they added this offseason. This is going to be a really good defense.
Rich Gannon's a four-time Pro Bowler and a two-time All-Pro. He was an MVP in the National Football League at quarterback. I'm always curious about the trends in the league from the perspective of guys who played at such a high level. What is something that you wish offensively, schematically, that's commonplace now would have been a part of the game or offenses you were in? And then give me something the opposite where you go, this isn't really done anymore, but I'll bet you it could work if they tried it now or did it more now.
Well, I would say we were on the cutting edge in the late 90s and the early part of 2000s in terms of calling multiple plays in the huddle and really not wasting any plays. In other words, the days of calling a play on the sidelines, whether it's the head coach or the, you know, the primary play caller, and calling the play and the quarterback running that play, you know, it's a lot different now. Quarterbacks have tools in their toolbox. They're able to change protections. They're able to change plays. They're able to call multiple plays, multiple run, strong side run and pair it with a weak side run, strong side run, pair it with a three-step throw, a man beater, pair it with a zone beater. You know, we have this system of football with check with Mees and a kill package. And you know, we saw it with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and, you know, a lot of quarterbacks that can handle a lot of volume and a lot of information and the guys that can process. We did some of that. And I think what's interesting now is you watch quarterbacks, you watch offenses. There's some that really do it well, and there's some that don't really do it at all because they're not really capable. And I think that's a challenge. If you're an offensive coach and you've got a quarterback that can handle a lot of responsibility at the line of scrimmage and get you into it, you know, you can't guess right. If I study all week and I look at the Baltimore Ravens and I say on 3rd and 5 to 7, it's 80% man to man and it's 60% pressure. And so I call a play in that situation that's going to handle the pressure and beat man to man coverage. And I get the line of scrimmage and they rush 3 and drop 8 and it's zone coverage. I got a bad play. If I don't have a quarterback that can get me out of that play and into another one, then, you know, we're just wasting time and wasting plays. And I think the good offenses do that a lot. And I would say half the teams in the league kind of live in that world. And you have, you know, you have some teams that are trying to develop a young quarterback or a team that has a quarterback that doesn't have the ability to do that type of play, that play the game that type of way. Everybody's got a toolbox, guys. The guy in Pittsburgh is 42 years old. His toolbox is a big, deep toolbox with a lot of tools in it. He's got a lot of freedom and flexibility at the line of scrimmage. You know, the guy in Tennessee, for example, Cam Ward, his second year, different coordinator, different head coach, different play call. His toolbox is going to be a whole lot smaller. And if I'm coaching, I want a quarterback that can handle a big, deep, and extensive and very expansive toolbox. And that's really what you're looking for. The quarterbacks that play the game that way are the best in the business.
It's a cool way to think about it. I haven't heard it said that way. Rich Gannon's with us on G&D. I was actually, you mentioned Kirk Cousins. He obviously was here in D.C. and was on our show a lot, and we have a relationship with him. And I was talking to him last season at one point. And he said something to the effect of he thought the best coordinators now are really good at disguising coverages. And he talked about like Mike McDonald and being able to coach things in terms of disguises that he hadn't seen before. I'm curious, when you were playing, how much of that was done? Because everyone acts like it's now done in a way different or better, where nobody knows, is it cover 2, cover 4, cover 6, all this stuff before the snap. And what's changed in that regard over the last couple of years? Because it seems like he gets a lot of credit for being really smart in that way.
Yeah, no, I think we've all, I mean, look, you know, the game's changed, but like it wasn't that long ago. And, you know, when I played and we went up against some really good coordinators and, you know, the good coordinators, they give you a lot to deal with. They give you a lot to handle and they do a great job disguising their intentions. These quarterbacks are so good nowadays. You think about Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you're not going to fool those guys, but what you want to do is you want to delay their decision making. In other words, if I walk the line of scrimmage and I can see the front and the coverage and it is what it is and nothing's going to change, then I already know what my footwork is and where I'm going. I can eliminate half the field, right? I know that this is a zone beater, it's a stretch, and I'm going to go the corner to the flat to the base, you know, whatever. But if I get to the line of scrimmage and I put my hands on the center and they're showing me a 4 across look, I don't know if it's man or zone or there's pressure. You know, the double A guy, like it all looks the same. And I can't tell because we're always looking for a tell. Like, who's the tell? Oh, the safety's the tell. When he's at 8 and not 10, it's, you know, or the corner with his heels, with his feet, when he's off the line of scrimmage or he's in a bail technique. Like, we're looking for the tell. And if I walk the line of scrimmage and I can't tell, and I have to wait until I'm 3 or 4 steps into my drop to figure out it's man, it's zone, it's pressure, it's coverage, it's rotation, then it makes it more difficult. And I think that's the good defensive coordinators. You know, they don't have a lot of tells. They try and give you a lot of looks that look similar but are different. and they really challenge you. I think you got to be – these quarterbacks are so good nowadays, particularly the veteran ones. Like, you know, you got a Patrick Mahomes, you got a Josh Allen, you got a Joe Burrow, you got – you know, guys that are really good at processing, you can't give them the answer before the snap of the football. You've got to force them to make later decisions, and I think that's what the really good defense coordinators do.
Rich, this was a treat, man. Really appreciate the info. Enjoy the start of the season.
Thanks, guys.
Be good. There's Rich Gannon, SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And as he told you, you can go to SiriusXM.com/SportsPass for more details on how to subscribe to SiriusXM's all-new sports plan. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Albert Breer of SIMMQB wrote a story about Jaden Daniels and how the Commanders plan on using him a little differently this year. We'll get to that next on the Fan. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., 25 hours from right now, the general manager of the Washington Commanders, Adam Peters, on stage with your pals. An evening with AP, myself, Danny Ruye. Right now, let's give away some tickets. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. You're winning tickets. A night with Adam Peters tomorrow night.
What a cool event. I can't wait, man. This is going to be fun. You, me, Adam Peters, and hopefully a whole bunch of you guys hanging out at the Arlington Draft House, a place that is awesome, a local institution, just a staple, if I can say that, right there on Columbia Pike. It is such a cool place to go hang out, see stand-up, see movies, and tomorrow night, see the GM of the local football team answer any question that you can imagine. Really cool of him to do, and it's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, I got an email from someone talking about how unique that is, and that they said it kind of reminds me of the olden days where an executive for a team would kind of hang out with some fans before a season or whatever. I liken it to a scene out of a high school football Friday Night Lights kind of thing where the high school football coach goes to the local diner and kicks it with everybody.
Right. Yeah.
You guys will be eating and enjoying your dinner. It's like Virginia Tech at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Tech Talk Live or whatever. So it's a neat thing. It's a great opportunity. It's rare. I don't think it happens a whole lot in professional sports, and we're pumped that Adam Peters is willing to do it. So looking forward to seeing many of our listeners out there tomorrow night as we blare a little hail to the Commanders, hail to the Redskins.
We're not doing the barbershop quartet version, I'll tell you that.
I don't think so, no. That one doesn't make the list.
Fight for our Commanders.
As far as I'm concerned.
We're not doing that.
But if you want tickets, again, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. They are available right now, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. And the event, the show, is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. How about this story with the Los Angeles Clippers? I want to get into this for a second. So the Clippers ended up having 5 first-round picks taken away by the NBA based on this ongoing saga with Kawhi Leonard. They violated salary cap, circumventing rules, improper off-court endorsement deals with Kawhi Leonard. This was apparently going on for years, but it was broken initially. The first time I ever saw this was Pablo Torre's podcast. And he came out and had a big kind of tell-all exclusive with a bunch of insight. The allegations were year-long investigation prompted the league had to look into this and found that the Clippers initiated and facilitated a multi-million dollar endorsement arrangement for Leonard with 4 companies. So they basically, it was like a shell operation where they paid him more money than they actually signed him for, by way of these no-show, as they called them, meaning you have no obligations here.
Yep.
You don't actually have to do anything. But these 4 companies are going to pay you X millions of dollars. And because we have a salary cap, because there's a maximum amount we can give you, I'm only allowed to give you $225 million. I'm going to pay you $225 million against our cap. That's the cash we'll give you. But these companies, Aspiration, Boingo Wireless, Daktronix, Locked In Insurance, through the Clippers,
yep,
allegedly, they then went out and paid Kawhi Leonard tens of millions more dollars in these no-show arrangements, basically as a way to have him make more money. The NBA looks into it. They find enough evidence and enough smoke from this gun that they have fined the Clippers $30 million. And Danny, 5
that's the part.
First-round picks. Now, your first thought's going to be, well, haven't they already traded some of those picks? They're pushing this till 2029, where there's no picks that have been given up yet. So starting in 29 for a five-year period through 2034, they can't wheel and deal in the first round. They can't pick anyone in the first round.
That's right.
It's not a death sentence, but that is a nightmare. That is a massive blow to an organization.
That's as stiff a penalty as I can remember. I mean, that is crippling, to your point. It is so I've said since I first heard about the allegations, again, I don't know what we're allowed to say, so allegedly, for all of this, everything I'm saying from here on out.
Well, the punishments are happening.
Yeah, I mean, but who knows what the league's threshold for justice is versus the judicial system. I have no idea. They're secure enough to say the ruling's final, there's no appeal here. So, again, allegedly. But I've always been surprised that, A, this doesn't happen more, something to this effect, and I can't believe it's the first time. This is kind of what I had in mind as soon as everybody yelled for college. Pay the players, pay the players. With sort of no thought as to how things would be implemented, no CBA, no governing body, and it's the Wild West. But the first, you know, door to crack was NIL. And this is how I viewed it, right? It was going to be like this, where Grant's my five-star quarterback, and I can pay, you know, you get your scholarship, but all you got to do is, you know, take one picture with, you know, Darius's pies, and we'll give you $50 million bucks. You know, because of some rich alumni or a group or whatever through some sort of slush fund is going to endorse through there. Or, you know, Darius owns that, and that's going to come to you. And I've always thought that that's kind of how it would go. It's, of course, turned into something even more unwieldy than that with college sports. But with the pros, when you're trying to woo players, you're limited in what you can do. Because remember, Toronto wins a championship with Kawhi Leonard, and their plan was to try to entice him to stay. You get some winning, we'll pay you a whole bunch of money, it'll be great, and he somehow chose to go to the L.A. Clippers. Now, they had some really good seasons, just happened to be in the Western Conference at the wrong time when the rise of the Oklahoma City Thunder, the rise of the Nuggets, and a couple other good teams ended up going to the finals that they lost to. So they had a few great seasons, not much to show for it, again, in a really crowded Western Conference. But in order to woo the star, they pulled out all the stops, it seems like. And I'm stunned that we haven't seen more stories like this before, but this one, you know, just reading the story and the way it's all laid out, seems pretty cut and dry, right?
Yeah, I think that's where we are now, is that the investigation was pretty clear. You're not throwing the gauntlet down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are slamming the gavel. This is you threw the book at them.
Yeah,
you know that something was afoot when you're doing this. By the way, how about the suspensions of the executives?
Yes.
Did you even mention that?
We haven't.
I mean, Steve Ballmer, the owner, suspended for 1 year. Now, I want specifics on that. What does that mean exactly? Can he not be at the arena? Can he not be involved in the day-to-day? Does he not get to talk to his head coach? Suspending an owner for a year, what is that?
Yeah, I remember that with Snyder. Like, what was that? He wrote a letter saying, my bad, and he was fine again?
But that's a massive thing. Right. A one-year suspension for an owner? Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything like that. You know, something maybe that's nefarious or you did something that was, like, from a legal standpoint, not allowed. Or you said something that was completely ridiculous, caught on camera or whatever. You don't see guys suspended for a year. President of Business Operations, Gillian Zucker, was suspended for 1 year without pay. So he's just got to start sitting out now, and he's not getting a paycheck. President of Basketball Ops, Lawrence Frank. So that's like Paul Taboni. That's the guy, your highest-ranking exec. That's your GM's boss, basically. Suspended without pay for 6 months.
Crazy.
So the guy that runs your basketball operation. I mean, I'm only saying this because I'm sitting in Nats Park. I'm not trying to throw these guys under the bus. But, like, your Taboni's out a half year.
Yep.
Your Jason Sinaraja, who runs the whole ballpark and everything, is out a full year. Your owner, Mark Lerner, is out for, you know, a full year. I mean, that's
the equivalent. Yeah, it's wild.
Massive. On top of five first-round picks that start 3 years from now. And you and I don't care about the $30 million, but that ain't nothing.
No.
I mean, now, Steve Ballmer's got cash, right?
He's fine, but yeah.
We're sitting at Nats Park. What would this ownership think about having to pay $30 million for something?
They would not love it.
They haven't done that for a player since before they won a World Series.
Boom, bam, and thank you very much. That's five Trevor Williamses, if you're scoring at home. But thinking about the punishment, remember we talked about this when Calvin Ridley, it was his turn? He got caught, and whoever got caught first doing the sports betting, no matter how minor the sports betting was, I mean, we always joke that he put a couple parlays in and they suspended him for a year. But whoever got caught, remember this true with my as a freshman, the day our coach said, stop getting in trouble, that night I got in trouble. So the suspension was going to be more than it probably should have been because he literally said nobody get caught. So the first person to get caught doing this, they're going to nip this one in the bud. you will not be circumventing our salary cap rules. That's not something we're going to tolerate. And they showed it. This is not a slap on the wrist kind of a thing. This is as significant a penalty as I can remember. And they're basically saying, we know all of you were involved. And even if you weren't, you didn't do enough to stop it or investigate it or figure it out on your own. You made us come look. And when we, unturned every stone and looked under every rock, we saw either complicit or we saw willfully ignorant or something in between. It's anybody that touches any part of the organization, basketball ops, ownership, business, all of you are done. All of you guys have to go sit down in the corner in addition to those draft picks and the money. That is stiff.
The biggest punishment I can think of, DC sports-wise, is still the
salary cap.
Commander's salary cap. And I'm trying to think of other times where teams have been slapped on the wrist for anything that was even noticeable. You know, sometimes you get a fine here or something there for bending the rules, and it's negligible. But the circumvention of the cap for the Shanahan era, which I still think was pretty bogus to begin with.
I'm
by
sure
the way.
It was bonus,
but, rather. But it was $36 million. So people that don't remember that story, that would have been in 2011. There was a lockout.
Yep.
And the way that it worked was the NFL, I'm dusting off some old details here, mm-hmm. but the NFL basically told teams, do not move money into the uncapped year. There was going to be an uncapped football season because of the lockout and all of the rumblings and the noise and everything that was going on. And so they said, don't hide money mm-hmm. in this season. And a bunch of teams were like, okay, cool, no problem. And Washington was one of a few teams.
New Orleans, Dallas.
That did that. Now, I'm sure if you got their capologist at the time, Eric Schaefer, on, they had a legal way. He was a good attorney.
Yep.
To say, we didn't really do that badly. You know, it's not that crazy that you would backload a contract or front-load a deal or pay a guy a lot in one season. But the numbers I remember were 21 and 15 mil. And it was
D'Angelo Hall.
Hall and Haynesworth. And they basically tried to, it seemed like from afar, like get those contracts whittled down to be much more reasonable in the capped years after, and the league jumped all over them. But there were other teams. Like, the Cowboys did it fairly egregiously and got a pittance. I mean, they got a very, very mm-hmm. small, we don't like what you did. The Saints, who seemed to always be yep. drawing the ire of the commissioner at that time, got hit not nearly as much as Washington. But the Commanders got destroyed, or then Redskins. And you can say, I think someone on the outside would be like, well, it's pretty clear. You were told not to do this. But it was more of a verbal, almost like a collusive collusion. It was just like, hey, guys, we shouldn't do this. That's very different than a rule in an uncapped year.
Right. So it was 100% a collusion.
Collusionary.
Effort. Yeah. So the way it went down is the owners agreed, hey, we're not going to do this. And they were able to somehow get the players to sign off on it, having to do with the labor agreement or whatever, even though the players shouldn't have, but it was like, you know, they were winning and losing in other parts of the negotiation. So because the players signed off on it, they were able to say, haha, see, it's not collusion because it's part of the CBA or part of our agreement here. So what should have happened is in an uncapped year, the behavior's uncapped. It's smart business, by the way, to shorten the length of a contract, to change how things are organized economically, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, Washington, I guess, violated whatever informal rule there was. But because the owners strong-armed the players into, quote-unquote, agreeing to it, they had their case where Washington couldn't punch back and say, this is collusion, because that's exactly what it is, by the way. If there's a salary cap, or if there's not a salary cap, and in any business, in any kind of walk of life, or franchises, whatever, you literally cannot go, hey, we're going to agree to not raise salaries. Literally collusion. That's a thing that's by the most strict definition, but they were able to wiggle around talking about the owners in the league by, quote unquote, getting the players to agree to it. So Washington got the stiffest penalty right before free agency.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, they're on the phone with, all right, we're prepared to offer you. Wait, what's that? Oh my God, hang up the phone. We can't pay anybody.
Well, I remember, so at that time, I'm still covering the team out in Ashburn, and I remember Shanahan was seething.
Yeah, it should have been.
They were so livid, yep. and they thought, I think, that John Mara was basically pulling all the strings as the puppeteer.
I'm sure of that, by the way.
That's the other tough thing sometimes with the NFL is there are certain owners and executives that are more powerful that are on some of these committees. Mm-hmm. And so you've got Washington crushed and Dallas to a lesser extent penalized. And one of the key people involved in the process uh-huh. is involved in owning the New York Giants, right? So it's I just know that they felt like the whole thing was so shady. This is not that, though. This feels like this podcast. And by the way, I mean, don't piss off Pablo Torre.
Seriously, don't run afoul of that guy.
I mean, this guy.
I've always been a big Pablo Torre fan, by the way. There's nothing to look at here.
Love Pablo Torre.
I'm a Pablo Torre guy.
One of the great talents in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want him digging into your background.
No, sir.
He will find some stuff.
Freedom of Information Act. I would keep it free from Pablo Torre because he's going to find out.
He is going to get you.
Yep.
And so he did. I mean, he.
Yes,
you know, you get a tip, then you start doing some digging, you do a little research. That's what his podcast is.
Well,
and from that multi-episode series comes a complete changing of the Western Conference landscape.
Seriously. Well, this reminds me, honestly, of the first go-around with the Patriots. Okay, I know the Patriots and Clippers aren't the same. Obviously, we shouldn't mention them in the same breath, but bear with me. The first go-around with the Patriots and Spygate, it was the most, nothing to see here, brush it under the table thing. If you recall, they received like a nominal fine, and they destroyed the evidence of what had taken place, and it was just this total botching and not handling of it because the NFL was like, whatever, we're the NFL, no one's going to care. And people cared, and it was frustrating. The other owners cared, other teams cared because it was so bogus. So then remember Deflategate, where the report the NFL issued was nonsense. There is no physical way, according to scientists, that what they said happened. It didn't matter because of what happened with Spygate. You follow me? So this is the Spygate where you circumvented a rule that is sacred because it's about owners spending money. And you can't make owners that don't have the money spend the money the same way an LA team or Steve Ballmer with Microsoft could spend that money. This is the sacred trust, man. You cannot violate the sacred trust. So we're going to do the hard punishment the first time, kind of learning the lesson where the NFL didn't do that for something that was pretty egregious.
Pretty amazing. A couple of NFL headlines on the way out here. Grant and Danny with you. A short show after a Nationals loss. They got blanked by the Braves 9-0 at Nationals Park today. The Las Vegas Raiders have finally named their starting quarterback, and it's old friend of the program, Kirk Cousins, is going to be the starter in week one. The big question is going to be how long can he fend off Fernando Mendoza. Cousins had a very strong camp, played better in the preseason than the young quarterback. But number one picks just don't sit in this league anymore, especially number one picks who just won Heisman Trophy awards. Look at the way the Raiders season opens, though. If you're Kirk Cousins, you had better play well, and you need the Raiders to beat the Dolphins. That's one of the worst teams in football. That's a gift of a week one matchup. It's probably a toss-up type game in Vegas, frankly, because neither team's supposed to be very good.
Uh-huh.
But you got to win that one.
Yep.
Then they have the Chargers. Okay, a beatable opponent in the Saints on the road in New Orleans, albeit a place that's been a struggle for him when he was in the NFC South a little bit. But those are two of your first three games are winnable. I think you got to harvest those nuts if you're going to hang on to this job for several weeks.
Because then here comes Murderer's Row.
Chiefs.
That's a variable, but we expect the Chiefs to be better, right?
I mean, the Chiefs are a team that will be favored by 8 over the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Patriots, the Bills, the Rams, all in succession. Shortly thereafter, the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Broncos. That is a unbelievably tough schedule for a team expected to pick in the top 5-7. So really the question is, they're going to lose a lot of games. Can Cousins protect the football? Can he move the offense? How long can he hang on to that job? And can he put enough good tape out there to maybe get another shot in a year somewhere else?
Indeed, yeah. I mean, we always talk about this, when's the right landing spot or what's your prediction? I mean, the first real soft, and I put that in quotes, landing spot might be week 8 for Fernando Mendoza against the Jets, who had one of the historically worst defenses in the history of this sport since it started tracking such things last year. Maybe that, if it's not there, you could see it before. Maybe it would have to be against one of the good teams on the schedule.
Well,
I know teams
I
don't like to
likely.
Do that, but
if you're 0-4,
if
you're
cares, right?
1-5, yeah. I don't think you just keep trotting Kirk out there. I think you would go to Mendoza, but he's got a chance if he plays well to tamp down some of the noise. It's just got to be difficult. Darius and I went to the preseason game, and you're older and you know, and you've been around the league and you get it, but they're selling Fernando burgers at the concession stands and, you know, Mendoza mania, you know, number one fingers and all. Like, you're just keeping the seat warm, and every incompletion, you know, they're going to be chanting his name. Gets more difficult.
What call your shot? What week?
Based on what I believe the Raiders have been saying publicly and probably behind the scenes, I think it's, you know, mid-season-ish.
Mm-hmm.
History tells me it'll be before. Like, I'll take the under on that.
Yeah.
I would say a month or so into the season. But Clint Kubiak's an exceptional play caller. I think Cousins and him work very well together. They know each other from the Minnesota days. I think Kirk will play well. I really do. I just don't think the team's particularly good.
Yeah, I love Bowers in that offense with Kubiak. But I'm going to guess week six against the Bills. No soft landing spot, but a home game.
Yeah, I'll say a week or two maybe even before that. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope he gets a long runway. I want to see him enjoy what could be his, you know, final stop, depending on how things go this year with the Raiders. The Vikings said today that they expect J.J. McCarthy to be on their roster in week one. About a week ago, we had heard, somebody reported, I think from The Athletic or something in Minnesota, that he was not going to be on the team. They were going to cut him. They didn't. They kept him. Then there was speculation, well, maybe he won't make the active roster on game day. And the Vikings today said that they think he will, actually. And I don't know if that means he's the third quarterback or if he could actually be the backup. But what do you make of that? I mean, McCarthy is clearly not going to get a chance to start anytime soon. But it sounds like he is not going anywhere, and they will keep him in the building.
Yeah, he does not sound particularly gruntled with things. Remember, his agent, I think, or whoever it was, leaked out, hey, you know, maybe he'd be better off with a change of scenery as of a couple weeks ago. But looks like he's behind Carson Wentz as well on their depth chart. But maybe they can't get value. I mean, who knows? First-round picks with that pedigree, it's hard to say that, you know, it's time to give up on him, but it just doesn't look particularly good right now. That looked like a great marriage at this point, and he's pretty buried there. So I don't know, man. I ultimately think if they think they could get value, they would have moved him. And right now there's no reason just to give him away for nothing and have him go succeed somewhere else potentially.
I look forward to a full show with you tomorrow, Danny.
Yes,
will be fun from 2 to 6:30. Remember, tomorrow night, an evening with Adam Peters, we are presenting a night with the GM. You can join AP on stage, myself and Danny, an exclusive season preview live from the Arlington Draft House. Get the exclusive access and insights that are only available when Peters is on stage with us tomorrow. An evening with Adam Peters, 7 p.m. start, Arlington Draft House. You can get your tickets now at arlingtondrafthouse.com. Nick Ashew has overtime next. Thanks to all of our producers behind the scenes today. Grant and Danny saying so long from Nats Park.
Thank you for coming.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over a million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapsidility Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.